come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a recorded message from the Heart to Heart Women's 2018 retreat. Philippians 3:14 says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The theme for this retreat is Reach for It. For more information about the Refuge Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
So glad to be here. Thank you all for being here. So glad to open up the night tonight of our theme, Reach for It. So in preparing for the retreat, I thought, I forgot we'd be following worship. So I started off a little light. So I'm going to bring it down a bit. I started to look at why do we attend women's retreats? So I have five top reasons here. Okay, so we'll just go through the five. I will not have to explain my moods, and if I want to explain it, people will care. You know. Number two, if food is involved, I will always be able to find someone who wants to share dessert. Number three, I will always have company going to the restroom. And will actually have some meaningful conversations there. All right, number four, I will find all the toilet seats down. And the last one is I will be around people who use as many words as I do. All right. So let's get into the meat of it after we've had a good laugh. This is actually about just my third or fourth retreat with Refuge, but I still remember my very first one. So for the first timers, allow me to indulge just a little bit. Several years ago, I have three kids now, but at the time I had two. And I had two young kids, so I spent all day with them. It was pretty tiring. I asked my husband to come home early, which I'm sure some of us have done. And then I took the long drive up, and I thought, yes, retreat, rest, sleep, no dishes, no meals. And then at 8 o'clock at night, I had to come into a room like this and listen to someone for hours. You know, I thought, that's not a retreat. When is nap time? So you have to listen to me tonight, so I apologize a little bit, but hopefully it'll be good, all right? I'm really excited to be here as a participant and to kick off the night tonight. In James 4:8, you don't need to turn, I'm just going to read it really quickly. It says, "Come near to God and he will come near to you." And we've taken this time, we've set this time apart, we've driven all the way up the mountain, committed to seeking God for this weekend, committed to reaching for it. Reach for it. That's our theme. And I know the first time you heard it, you thought, I get it. No, I don't get it. What am I reaching for? Well, I don't know. Sorry to disappoint you. I don't know what each person in this room is reaching for. But what we can talk about tonight is what it means to reach for it, how we can reach for it, and why would we even want to do that? So let's kick off with the what. To reach is an action verb. It means to stretch outside your boundaries, to go beyond your normal, to go beyond your comfort zone. Take me outside my comfort zone, please, says Nadine, never, okay? No one says that, but it's what we're going to do this weekend. There's a song from All Sons and Daughters, and the name of the song is called Call Me Higher. It starts off really nice and smooth, and it makes you think, yes, this is what I want to do. It goes like this. It says, I can hold on. I could hold on to who I am and never let you change me from the inside. I could be safe. I could be safe here in your arms and never leave home, never let these walls down. But you've called me higher. You've called me deeper. And I go where you will lead me. So I like to be safe. I like to be tucked under God's wings. I like to be in his safe arms. But not a lot of growing takes place there. Let's be honest, right? So he is calling us higher, and we're going to start tonight, yeah? We're going to take that next step. Psalm 62:8 in the NIV says, "Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." Reaching for it is about stretching. It's about trusting. It's about seeking, pouring out our hearts. You might have noticed the sunflower theme. I know it was a little hard to miss, but it's beautiful. I actually have a good story about, well, good to me because it's my story, but a story about the sunflower. I was about 10 years old and went to a convent, and the nuns shared a little song that I've always remembered. So when we talked about having the sunflower as a theme for this, oh my gosh, it was like everything coming together, yes. So the little song, which I will not sing because I'm not Shannon Quintana, I will just read it to you, is it goes, "Like a sunflower that follows every movement of the sun, so I turn toward you to follow you, my God." Can I read it one more time?
Yes.
It says, "Like a sunflower that follows every movement of the sun, so I turn toward you." This might happen a lot, "to follow you, my God." You see, the sunflower teaches us how to reach for it. It teaches us to stay singularly focused on God. It teaches us that there's no greater joy than when we're focused on him. Sunflowers have a characteristic called heliotropism. And simply put, it means that as the sun moves through the sky, through the setting and rising of the sunflower points towards it as it grows. It does that so it can absorb the most sunlight. It's no coincidence, that might be my phone, no. It's no coincidence that the sunflower doesn't only follow the sun, but it looks like the sun. Yeah? Perhaps as a sunflower looks at the sun, it looks like the sun. I want to look like the Son Jesus Christ, yeah? So I need to keep my gaze fixed on him. I believe that when we spend time in the presence of God, we should be transformed, noticeably transformed. Every time we come to church, every time we meet in a small group, every time we pray, we should walk out of there and something should be different. Someone should say, "You look different." Right? Because we just met with God. We were just in his presence. And it's okay to be intentional about reaching for it, because what we reach for will also dictate where we set our eyes. In Matthew 6:21, it says, "For your treasure is there, there your heart is also." And I know it all sounds good, but you're sitting there saying, "But you don't know my situation. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I have down the mountain. You don't know the house. You know. And I don't, but God knows. You see, those are small its, I-T-S, small distractions, small energy drains, small bad choices, unfortunate circumstances, challenges to our health, our finances, relationships, jobs. Those are small its. But we need to choose to stay focused on the big it. In Philippians 3:14 in the NIV, it says, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ." There's no prize in the small its. Prizes in the big it's when we keep our eyes, when we keep our hands, when we keep our head, when we keep our gaze and our hearts lifted up to him, yeah? Let's turn to the Bible. Let's get in our Bibles for a minute. We're going to look at two women in the Bible who will hopefully guide us in reaching for it. First one, let's turn to Genesis 3:1. And you know who we're going to talk about. Okay. So I'll read 3:1-3:6, but I'll stop here and there. I know it's probably a very familiar passage. So starting in 3:1, "Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field, which God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Can it really be that God has said you shall not eat of the tree of the garden?'" Huh. Is it true? That's how it starts, right? A little bit of doubt, a little bit of question. Is it true you should not do that? Really? All right. "And the woman," in 2, "and the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit from the trees of the garden, except the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" You see, she knew. So we know, right? Eve knew. But then he goes on, he says, "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die.'" And there goes the doubt. There goes the lie. There it is. There's a lie, replacing the truth of what she already knew in her heart. What does Eve do? She continues to have a conversation with him, right? In 5, she says, sorry, let's just go to 6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was delightful to look at, and the tree to be desired in order to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she gave some to her husband, and they ate." I really think it all started because she entertained a conversation with the devil, with the serpent, and it planted seeds of doubt. Doubt led to denial of the truth. Denial led to sin. Why do we keep conversations going with the serpent? Yeah, we do it all the time, right? Even if it's just the, "I don't feel good enough to stand up here and speak to 190-something people. Or I don't think I'm good enough." Or, you know, we keep that conversation going. And I think that's where it started. The only conversation we should have with the serpent, with the devil, with the doubt, is "get behind me. Get behind me." We don't need to say, "Yeah, but God said," or "Did he really say?" Maybe not, you know. We just need to say, "Get behind me." Let's look at another sister in the Bible. We'll turn to 1 Samuel 1. I know that's very familiar to the Bible study group. We're going to look at Hannah. Let's just read 1 Samuel. All right. All right. "So there was a certain man of the hill country of Ephraim named Elkanah, son of Jeroham. And he had two wives, one named Hannah and the other named Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. This man went from his city year by year to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of the hosts of Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were the Lord's priests. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give Peninnah his wife and all her sons and daughters portions. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had given her no children." Just to stop right there. You know, if you look at Hannah's situation, she had a very loving husband, right? And someone could probably say, "Hannah, why won't you be just grateful with what you have? You have a husband who loves you, giving you double portion." But her heart still ached, and that's okay. I think that's a good message for us, because sometimes we feel bad about seeds that God has planted in our lives, and we feel like, "Why? Who am I? Who am I to ask for more? Who am I to reach for it? Who am I to want more?" Even if it's a seed that God has planted deep down inside, right? You look at everything as, "I should be grateful." But Hannah knew where to take that to, right? She wasn't just being sorrowful and sad for herself and miserable in front of anyone. She knew where to take it. So let's continue reading from 6. "This embarrassed and grieved Hannah, and her rival provoked her greatly to vex her, because the Lord had left her childless. So it was year after year when Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, Peniah provoked her, so she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you cry, and why do you not eat? And why are you grieving? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? So Hannah rose after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his seat beside the post of the temple of the Lord, and Hannah was in distress of the soul, praying to the Lord and weeping bitterly. Let's just observe there who Hannah was having her conversation with. Yeah? She was having her conversation with the Lord, pouring it out. She vowed, saying, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember and not forget your handmaid, but will give me a son, I will give him to the Lord all his life. No razor shall touch his head. And it goes on that when Eli saw her speaking in 13, Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. And he said, how long will you be intoxicated? Put away the wine. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I was pouring out my soul before the Lord. Regard not your handmaid as a wicked woman, for out of great complaint and bitter provocation I have been speaking. Then Eli said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. That's a pretty different story from Eve, yeah? I mean, look at where Hannah took her grievances to. She poured out her heart, and this was year after year. She was having a conversation with God, not with the alternative. She journeyed from a distressed soul to a heart that was greatly rejoicing. Hannah's example teaches us that reaching for it isn't over after we receive our blessing either. Because what did she do after she received her blessing? She gave it right back to God. So, I mean, just a great example, I think, you know, of what do we do when we're struggling? What do we do when our hearts are grieved? Where do we turn to? Who do we turn to? And then what do we do with that? And again, after we get it, what do we do? After we get that job, what do we say? Thank you, God, for the job. How do I serve you? After we get the child, dear Lord, thank you for the child. Show me how to raise this child to love you. After we get the husband, thank you for the husband. Help. No, thank you for the husband. Joking. Thank you. You know, how do we fulfill a purpose for you? After we get the healing, say, who do I encourage now? Where do I go? You see, both Hannah and Eve had longings in their hearts, but they handled it in two different ways. One in communication with the deceiver, and one in communication with God. And that made all the difference. God didn't mark Hannah as crazy or foolish or selfish. No, he listened, he answered, he inclined his ear, and he gave her the askings of her heart. In James 1:6, it says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. I'm going to put up three questions tonight. The first one is, what is your expression of faith? And for that, I'll turn to another example in the Bible. We all know the Egyptians were escaping Pharaoh's captivity. And in Exodus 13 to 14, it says, and Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you, and you will only have to be silent. That's reaching for it, right? That's the Hannah way of reaching for it. Stand firm. Fear not. The Lord will fight for you. There's also another example in the Bible, Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat appointed singers to sing to the Lord to gain his battle. I mean, I was serious when I said I could praise all night, because a posture of battling is this. That's how you can fight your battles, with praise. When you feel that worry, that doubt, that fear, dissatisfaction, disappointment invading, just praise. It's a weapon that we probably don't use enough, yeah? That's how we express our faith. That's how we build our faith. That's how we stretch ourselves. My second question is, what is your spiritual posture? So I know you know posture is the way you hold your body, the way you hold yourself, but it also means just your attitude or your approach. So it's almost like, are you aware of your spiritual posture? When the battle comes, when the doubts come, when you're in the midst of those trials, what does it look like? Does it look like that? Dear Lord, help me. Is it a prayer, maybe you're alone in your quiet moment or with some friends? Are we hiding out from those battles? Sometimes I do, right? I just don't want to see it. I don't want to admit it's there. Take cover. And maybe if we just hide our eyes, it's not there. But it doesn't go away. It doesn't help, right? How about, what do we do when we face trials? That's how I want to face trials. Full with the armor of God. Bring it on. That's how I want to reach for it. But sometimes I do that. And most times I do that. Yeah, I worry a lot. But then I put on the armor of God. Thanks be to God, yeah? All right. Last question is, how will you reach for it? Because this retreat is about each one of us individually. God didn't bring you here for the good food or to meet friends that you haven't met in some years. He brought you here to have a special, intimate conversation with you, to find out what's the next leg of the journey that you're willing to go on with him. How are you going to reach for it? In spite of the challenges, are we going to fight? Are we going to pray and praise? Are we going to expect, like it says in Psalm 27:14, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Hannah was a great example of that. We do need to get our Hannah on, because it's hammer time. Hannah time. Right? There's one more question that I haven't answered, and that's the why. And for that, I'll refer to Asa, the king of Judah. If we open up, and you don't have to, but I'll read it. But in 2 Chronicles 15, it was said of King Asa, the heart of Asa was blameless all his days. But right after that was said of him, he took his eyes off of God and took matters in his own hands. And he made a deal with the king of Syria because he was under threat. He was being threatened. He was under attack. So after 2 Chronicles 15, when it says, the heart of Asa was blameless all his days, in 2 Chronicles 16, it says, you have done foolishly in this. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars, because he took it in his own hands. He didn't get his Hannah on. But here comes the why, because we're talking about the why now, right? In 2 Chronicles 16, 18, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. I want when the Lord's eyes roam to and fro, back and forth, the earth, that it stops on me. And he says, that's a heart that's loyal to me. That's a heart that I'm paying attention to. That's a heart that's reaching for it. And that's a heart that I will make a path straight. Is that what we all want? I think that's all what we all want, yeah? That's why we're here today. That's why we're here this weekend. So when Joy asked me to share this vision of the retreat, I was definitely honored, definitely humbled, definitely scared. But I didn't want to disappoint her. And really, the truth is, every day we have this opportunity to join God on the stage and not disappoint him. I want to stay connected to him. I want to stay fighting those battles with the full armor of God. I want to stay with my hands up in the air, praising him through the battles, because that's my weapon. I want to thank him every day. I found a poem from Michelle Taylor Jones, and it goes, the title is On My Stage. So I'll read it now. It says, and I might have to pause, take a deep breath. It says, on my stage, I will dance in the presence of fear. And there's the pause. I will dance in the presence of fear, for you have said, thy rod and thy staff will comfort me. On my stage, I will laugh at the persecution and ill will. For you said, no weapons formed against me shall prosper. On my stage, I will persevere and triumph in victory. I might have to ask someone to read this for me. For you have anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over because of your goodness and mercy. On my stage, you remind me that my steps are ordered and that you've designed and are designed by your divine intervention. Try reading through tears. On my stage, my star shines like a beacon of light, and only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life as I always dwell in the house of Lord. And I will add, on my stage, though the trials come, I will keep my eyes on him and I will reach for it. Will you reach for it? Thank you for reaching for it this weekend.
Letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.